podcast. Woo! We're recording the podcast. Okay, cool. It's all working.
I want Hilary Swank in the next Terminator movie so bad.
There is nothing in this world that you give me to do to hug a robot.
It's because it's so incredible and intricate that it's impossible not to notice.
Music's the core of this movie.
I was born again to watch this movie.
You'll find redeeming things and you'll be thinking about it for a long time afterwards.
There was no bone saw.
Just John hamming it up over here.
2.5 out of 3 of us recommend it.
Everybody loves talking about movies. Let's talk about movies.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast. It's Casey, Vince, and Josh, and we're here. We're going to talk to you about a movie, as we do usually. So, hi, guys. How's it going?
Ew.
What's going on? Hey. It's all going well. How about you, Case?
I'm just sweating to death right now in this Utah heat. I'm about ready to just become a nudist, I think.
Today was pretty nice, though.
Anything over about 70 degrees, I'm like, get out of here.
So the whole summer?
Yeah, I actually, I get reverse seasonal depression, actually. Like, I hate the summer. I would rather have it be spring, fall, winter all year round as opposed to, blazing hell of the heat here because I can't handle it. That's all. That's all I want to say.
I'm there with you. I prefer spring and fall over the summer and winter, but summer and winter do have its benefits. You know, winter you got snowboarding, summer you got the lake season. So I don't know. I've often complained about, Utah, we only have 3 months of summer. It's the worst. It goes from cold to blazing hot to cold again. But really, I was talking to one of my buddies at work today over chat. And today I had my hoodie on and a beanie on. And I was just I'm excited for the fall to just get back in my comfy clothes and just hot chocolate in my hands.
Weren't you drinking hot chocolate a week ago?
Yeah, I was.
That was one of the first things I remember about Vince, because we sort of started doing the podcast in the spring, summer-ish of last year. And so when I first was really getting to know him, it was moving into the fall and Vince was freaking getting pumped, getting ready for hoodie season, for everything like that. So
yeah, man, hoodies, joggers, beanies, give me all those baggy comfy clothes. I love them.
I just bought actually a brand new pair of joggers today that will be coming, and I'm super excited because they'll be so breathable.
Lucky.
Yeah Uniqlo, man, look it up. Not a paid ad, just they have super comfy joggers, guys. Anyhow, this week, we're gonna talk a movie that just came out. It was released on Hulu. But as always, before we get going, guys, just if you want to give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all those great places, you can find us at Pause Rewind Play or Pause Rewind Pla or just prppodcast.com as well. And you can find out a ton of fun stuff about what we're doing and who we are. And so, yeah, there's that shout out. And before we dive into the movie, we got some movie updates. Josh, you been watching anything this week?
I've been doing okay with watching stuff this week. I've had a few. Over the weekend, I was up in Yellowstone, so I was not doing so much movie watching as I was, watching the real outdoors and stuff. It was a good time. But, when you get back to your hotel or whatever at night and you're just laid back, we sat down, flipped on the TV, and I watched the second half of Black Panther, which was good. I hadn't seen that in a while. So that, along with Storage Wars, kept me up over the weekend. And then, that kind of good stuff. Plus, also, my wife is watching for the very first time, not because I asked her to, but because her and her friend decided to together. They are watching Community for the first time. And yay. I am loving it. And she is blazing through it. She watched, I'm not even kidding when I say she watched all of season 4 yesterday, the entire thing, which was good. She can blaze through the bad season really fast. So
that's awesome.
It's been really good.
That's awesome. The more people watch it, the more people watch it, the more likely we'll get that movie, right?
No, exactly. And I watched an interview with Alison Brie the other day where she was talking about how there's been sort of this second wave of following where Community is sort of becoming one of those front runner sitcoms, like it kind of wasn't considered before because of its release on Netflix. It's having the people who originally watched it go through, watch it again, remember how much they loved it. And then they have these new wave of followers who are hitting it.
So you're telling me that Yahoo streaming service nor Hulu was the place to have Community?
That is what I am telling you, Vince.
Who would have thought?
It is sad to say, but neither Hulu nor Yahoo Screen or whatever it was called was the place to get Community the real fan base that it needed. But either way, it's happening now. She's watching that. I'm watching a ton with her, and I love it. Besides that, I'm not going to lie. I watched like a few sparse episodes of stuff here and there, but not very much. What about you, Vince?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I didn't watch anything of like note, other than I did watch Karate Kid 1 again, which is a classic movie.
Classic.
But I'm in this like rut where I just like, I've started like 3 or 4 different shows and nothing is holding me in. Like I tried to watch Netflix's new TV series Cursed, that just came out. It's like a King Arthur movie or show. Kind of. It's like Excalibur, I should say, show, because it's not about King Arthur. Watched an episode or two of that, and I was just like, I can't get into this. And I tried to watch the Golden, or it's not the Golden Compass, but it's based on that. It's a different name. Shoot, I spaced it. It's on HBO. Whatever. I tried to watch that, and I couldn't get into it. So I'm just kind of like bouncing around. But of note, a show of note that I watched, I did watch the Iceland episode of Down to Earth. It's Zac Efron's new travel show that's out. Yeah, it was really good. But he's it's cool. It's entertaining, but I felt like I was on the outside of inside jokes throughout the entire episode. And I didn't get a lot out of the episode, like as much out of the episode as I thought I would. Cause I went to Iceland. We went and we traveled over there for a week and like visited, and pretty much everything they talked about other than the little chocolate place that they went to, I already kind of knew about. So I was like, oh, this is good, but he's no, what's that guy that you really
Bourdain?
Like? Yeah. He's no Bourdain, man. Bourdain's show just was off the charts good. And this just felt like just the cheap version of it, you know, just a bunch of buddies on a road trip that hurried and slapped together something and gave it to Netflix. But it was entertaining. It's good. And I'll watch it.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt about like that episode as well. I felt like we haven't went back and watched anything else. Like it's entertaining for sure. Like it's kind of like, it's like Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner to Ugly Delicious, if you've watched that on Netflix. Both produced by the same people, just more one is the B-sides. And yeah, it's more like a bunch of bros just on a road trip, and there's a lot of inside jokes, and you don't get immersed in the culture as well, I feel. Like, it's cool, but it's not an immersive show, and it's not a welcoming show either. So in that way, like Bourdain's was. So fair enough. I agree with you, but I've been in the same kind of rut as far as finding a new series, to be super honest with you. But I've also been busy watching a film every day. And if you want to know what I've been watching, you can go to prppodcast.com and read about it. But I just want to bring up the most noteworthy film I watched in a while, which was, well, two of them, I guess, which was one, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Talk about a throwback movie that made me want to like just disappear and travel for on a whim. And I was like, dang, like, I think I've talked about this multiple times. Like, if I could just like pack up my dog's wife, sell my house, travel somewhere, I would like indefinitely. That'd be super rad. Then that was cool. And then today I just watched The Old Guard, guys. You have got to see this. This is such a cool film. It's inspired by other films, and you're kind of see similar nuances to it. But it was cool. Like, this doesn't give anything away. Like, I'm not going to say anything that's spoilers. Just think of a combination of Underworld, X-Men, and hold on here. I wrote down some notes because I think it was very important. Underworld, X-Men, and dun, 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 Van Helsing, and then a little bit of like Bane going on there as well. So like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. So there you go. Like, it's a good show. Netflix, props to you. Two thumbs up. Now pay me for that advert for you. But essentially, it was a good show. So watch it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check it out. But I'm kind of deeply immersed in The Last of Us Part 2 right now. So I've been tossing, like, every time I go to sit down to watch it, it's like, or I could play this game for a little while.
Hey, I heard a rumor that Wahlberg is making a Last of Us film. Is that true?
HBO announced that they're making a TV show of it.
Okay.
I don't know who's doing it, though. I just know it's going to be on HBO.
Cool. Well, that's rad.
So if you haven't experienced the game, get ready for a roller coaster of emotions.
I have not owned a gaming console in my house since 2015.
That's great.
I haven't played any games since 2015, guys. I'm sorry. But anyhow, now that I brought it down.
I was going to say, well, at least it's a good thing that we have these quality video game movies that you can go and watch so you can experience, you know, the cheap, crappy version of the really good storytelling that the video game delivers.
Well, and so here's something, like, when I played video games, like, I really liked Prince of Persia and, like, Halo and stuff like that, right? And they made a Prince of Persia film with Jake Gyllenhaal. It was good. It was okay, but it wasn't the game. So I get where you're coming from. I hear you. So, well, okay. Well, now I brought it down. So I don't play video games. I'm kind of lame. I guess I'm excited for this cheap knockoff, this cheap secondhand reused film that will come out.
If anybody's gonna do it good, it's HBO, right? So trust in them. Trust in them that they'll be able to deliver something good.
Do you remember the end of Game of Thrones? Do you remember the end of Game of Thrones, Vince? Like, I just have that question for you.
I was one of the rare people who just really didn't have a problem with it. I mean, I know it had issues. I know it had issues. I know it was rushed. I know it was, you know, full of plot holes and didn't really end the way I wanted it to. But I was entertained through the whole ride. So I wasn't one of these guys that was just like so turned off of Game of Thrones that I can never trust him again. In fact, give me more Game of Thrones as soon as possible, and I will watch the heck out of it.
Oh, I will too, but I was still disappointed with the end of the series.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about something a little less depressing in ways and a little more depressing in other ways. Vince, what film are we watching this? What film are we talking this week?
We are talking Palm Springs.
Oh.
Yeah, what a great movie, right?
We've mentioned it a couple times before on the podcast because we had all sort of watched it little by little, but we decided it was good enough that it needed a little bit more mentioning, a little bit more of an in-depth look for you guys to hear our thoughts about it.
Yeah, so I've got some movie info that we can hurry and run down through before we jump into it. Palm Springs, directed by Max Barbacow and written by Andy Ciara, was released July 10th, 2020 on Hulu. It had a budget of only around $5 million and premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, I believe, in 2019. Is that correct, Josh? It would have to have been last year, right?
I think it was this year.
It was the 2020 Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, so it would have been earlier this year?
January of 2020.
Oh, holy cow. This COVID thing has got me all screwed up. Yeah. I was thinking that for some reason COVID had canceled Sundance this year because everything else was canceled, but apparently we were able to do it back then. Yeah, so it had a budget of only $5 million and was purchased by Hulu at Sundance for a record-breaking $17,500,069.
Didn't they do that to break the record?
Yep.
Like that extra money.
That extra 69 cents was Andy Samberg sitting in a bunch of, like, I listened to an interview where they talked about it. Like, what the heck? You know, why 69 cents? He's just like, you know, I had a few too many drinks, and you know the businessman that I am, and what's her name? Kristen Milioti was just like, it's the funniest thing ever. Seeing all these headlines and a 69 joke is right in the middle of the cost. They're like, it's the most Lonely Island thing I've ever seen.
Oh, Lonely Island. Let me just tell you how happy I was when the movie started and the second production company that showed up was the Lonely Island Classics there.
I had no idea that these three guys were so... just so good at what they do. I didn't know that they were producing movies. I didn't know that they had other things other than their albums, you know? I knew that they did Pop Star or whatever. Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Never Stop, Never Stopping.
And then Hot Rod, and that's about all I knew about them. But apparently they've been doing a lot of stuff. And they're smart, funny dudes. So Hulu bought it for all that money. And it paid off for them in the end because it has broke Hulu's records for the most views in a movie's premiere weekend. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a critic score. Critics gave it 93%. Audience score was 90%. IMDb gave it a 7.5. And the movie is starring Andy Samberg as Niles, Kristen Milioti as Sarah, and J.K. Simmons as Roy.
What a welcome cast. I just have to say that with so much excitement and happiness at the same time. And especially the appearance of J.K. Simmons. That's all. I just love him.
So did you guys see the trailer before jumping into this?
Nope.
I did. A lot of people didn't, and a lot of people afterwards are like, the less you know about this going in, the better. But I did. I saw the trailer for it when Hulu announced that it was going to be releasing. It was like a month or two before it came out, and I had the date marked on my calendar immediately waiting for it to come out because just the cast and everything that was surrounding it, I was super excited. So I did see the trailer, kind of wished I hadn't, but I'm glad that I watched it on the night that it came out.
So Casey, what was your thoughts as you were watching this movie, having not knowing what the movie was?
What a great question that is, because I watched the trailer after I watched the movie, which is kind of the reverse way than most people look for movies. We were just looking for something like, you know, to fill the night. And I was actually going to watch it just for the video project. So I was like, cool, let's just do it. Josh and Vince have said it was good. And we get in here and the first thing, you know, I see is, you know, Andy Samberg jumping in the pool, sitting on a pizza floaty, and life is pretty good. I mean, can't complain about that. And then the film that it became was like, ooh, it was a good comedy, but also had that drama rom-com feel to it. And it made a lot of sense. And I don't know if it's me just being in COVID right now or what, but everything for some reason has like a deeper purpose and a bigger meaning to me now. I'm like, this show's, you know, the stress that the mind can have on it and stuff like that. And that was kind of like what I got from it, was there was the good, funny parts. There was the sad parts of it. But then I was like, what's the deeper meaning? And so I did not expect the film that it was. I did not expect the ending. I did not expect a number of things throughout this film, actually. It wasn't very like it was, you know, your Groundhog Day by the textbook, like the day starts over. But it wasn't like crap or garbage, and I enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't just recycled or upcycled. It was made better. It was fresh, per se.
Yeah, definitely a fresh take on this whole idea, especially having come off of like Edge of Tomorrow, you know, and we kind of have this genre on the forefront of our minds jumping into it. But I was right there with you, Casey. I'm just going to throw out right now, we're getting into spoilers on this because my next comment is going to have spoilers in it.
Spoilers.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about this movie other than it was supposed to be super good and it had Andy Samberg and the girl from the Star Trek episode of Black Mirror. Like, that's what I know her from.
That's How I Met Your Mother, Vince?
How I Met Your Mother, Josh? Sorry.
Yeah, she is. That was what I knew her from first.
I saw that, but I wasn't one of those diehard How I Met Your Mother fans. So until someone reminded me that was her, I would never have remembered. But she's great. I keep seeing her. She keeps popping up and stuff, and I like her and everything that I've seen. But what I knew about Palm Springs was it made a ton of money. It broke the record at Sundance. It made a ton of money. and Andy Samberg and Chris Meliotti was in it. And every podcast I listened to was like, this is a great movie. You should watch it. You should watch it. So I just saw it was on, hit play, and jumped in. And I loved the movie, but I had no idea what I was getting into when it started. And when it got to that part when Andy Samberg gets arrowed in the back by J.K. Simmons, I was like, shocked. Like,
you were like,
wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Like, in that part where she's like, what the?
Yeah, I was literally hurt because I thought this was going to be just kind of a fun indie rom-com about, you know, this quirky guy who wears a Hawaiian shirt and dances around at the wedding, meeting the girl of his dreams and them, you know, coming together and living happily ever after. And when he gets shot and he just like screams, just like, ah! That was me just like sitting up in bed, just like, what the, where's this turn? Where's this? What? And man, I like, they keep saying go into this movie blind because not knowing that was coming is going to stand out in my mind as one of those moments in cinema where I was just like, thought I knew what I was getting into and completely subverted my expectations.
Do you know what it reminded me of, Vince? Watching Jumanji as a little kid and the hunter coming in to get him. Like, that's what I thought right there. I was like, it's pulling a Jumanji. Like, this is like, maybe there's this time hunter, whatever. I don't know. Like, I was like, what is this? Just, yeah, it was, yeah. It was like,
well, look Jumanji at it in vibes. My shoes, man. Casey, look at it in my shoes. I didn't even know that this was like a Groundhog's Day style movie. So all of a sudden it turned this rom-com into this like horror for a second where Andy Samberg is being hunted by this random man who ended up being J.K. Simmons that I did not know was in the movie. Like, it was just everything just built up to be this fantastic experience that I haven't had in a long, long time because, you know, trailers always show what the movie is. And I'm a sucker for a good trailer. So I watch every trailer that comes out, you know. Makes me want to kind of go back and try to not watch those trailers so I can have these fresh experiences more often.
We should do an episode sometime where we just judge a movie off the trailer. Like, that's the only thing we know about the film.
Oh, I did this like 2 days ago. There's a movie called Predator, or sorry, not Predator. What was that movie that I sent you?
The Megan Fox one?
Yeah, the Megan Fox one that was like just this.
Rogue or something?
Rogue. Yeah, that's what it is. I watched this trailer for Rogue. It's a Megan Fox movie. And she's a mercenary that has to go into some other country and save these people. And then when they get there, all the people are dead and torn apart. And it turns out that this lioness is killing all these people. It's directly, it's a direct ripoff of the Predator, 1980s Predator movie. And so I watched that trailer and then I jumped over and I grabbed the Predator, the actual 1980s Predator trailer. And I was like, this is how it's done. This is the classic. This is the good one right here. Forget this lion garbage. Let's get the alien from outer space coming in.
I like it. I feel you though. Like this movie was not what I expected at all. So, whew, that's, yeah. I don't know. Where do you guys want to go with this? I'll be honest with you. I did not come with any talking points because I just want to talk about everything about this film.
I definitely had a couple of things I wanted to ask you guys about. And one of them we already kind of touched on, which was like unexpected things, right? So this movie definitely came out of the blue. And even though Netflix bought it or Hulu bought it for a certain amount and it had been in the news, you know, and people thought it was going to be good, it kind of took a lot of people by surprise with like how good it was. I mean, you have the Groundhog Day and the rom-com genre thrown into one. And it seems like you can be like, if you think about it, those two are really kind of like overplayed sometimes, you know, like people run out of ideas on what to do. So it's just basically the same old thing, but somehow they took these two genres, threw them into one, and they had an incredible new movie that they executed really well as well. So what I wanted to ask you, and I can go first while you guys think, is what was the most unexpected thing in the movie that amazed you? So I had a couple. My number one, Vince already talked about a little bit, and it was Christine Milioti. She was incredible. I mean, Andy Samberg is always hilarious, you know, and J.K. Simmons is a solid, you know, Academy winning actor, but she just blew my mind in this. She was amazing. The way she acted, the way that she really portrayed that character, and you understood her values and what she liked and was able to understand why she was doing what she was doing. I mean, she was amazing. But then the other thing that just, like, as I watched, just blew my mind was the cinematography in this film was incredible. It was amazing. Like, all of the lighting and the shots for this was so good. When they went to the different places, you had that very, like, desert town feel when they're in Palm Springs during the day and they're out in the desert while still being able to see everything. And then when they're in that cave, you know, spoilers, when at the end they're kissing and, like, all this other stuff, like, it was just these gorgeous, amazing shots. And I'm like, this does not look like the cinematography of a movie with a $5 million budget. You know, this looks like a big screen picture with how incredible the cinematography was. And that was something that I noticed the first time, but watching it a second time last night before this, it blew my mind. I was like, this is insane. They did all of this work for this movie and it pays off. It looks incredible. It really gives you a very bright, fun feel to the movie.
I think, first I have to second what you said about Christine Milioti. Like, she's great, and I will be watching her career with great interest. Like, she's...
You will be watching your career with great interest.
She's great. She's just fantastic. And yeah, she'll be somebody. But I think the thing that blew my mind the most was in a world that we have with so many versions of the Groundhog's Day style, Edge of Tomorrow, Groundhog's Day, this, there's Happy a movie, Death Day. Happy Death Day came out. Like, they've come out with all these, like, really unique ways of doing this. But this is the first one where they've taken that, and I think you touched on this a little bit already, Casey, they've taken that formula and they've kind of used it in a way to explain, how can I explain this well? They've taken it and they used it in a way to represent, you know, a relationship, what a relationship is. Like, when you first get in a relationship, it's like when Kristen gets first in the time loop and it's just all fun and games. And when you're first dating somebody, it's all fun and games and you're just running around doing whatever you want, putting bombs in cakes, jumping in front of cop cars, you know, flying airplanes, just having the time of your life. And then go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt, but I just want to say that was one of my favorite, like, comedy points of the movie. you son of a bitch, you foiled me again.
Continue. But, like, it really did. It's like it takes this idea of, you know, a relationship starts out great, and then after a while you just kind of get stuck in this rut, and then, you know, and it just perfectly presents this idea of just, like, what happens if you live the same day over and over and over again? What if, you know, you're in this relationship and your relationship starts out so much fun and then turns into the same thing over and over and over again until you get sick and tired of it and can't do it anymore? And just that idea of using this formula, this genre of movie of living the same day over and over again to represent relationships and love, I guess, it's just, it really took me by surprise. Like, I think that's the most meaningful and creative way that I've seen it used. And I think it just easily stands out as the most surprising thing about the movie.
Yeah,
that and the dinosaurs.
Okay, can we talk about the dinosaurs since you brought them up? Did they, like, fall in the cave, like, millions of years ago, billions of years ago, and they're just wandering for all time? And
They're trapped in a box of energy, but also at the time, and I mean, they see them again at the end, so who knows? But at the time that they were seeing the dinosaurs, they were both tripping on mushrooms pretty hard.
Okay, that's fair. But a lot of things that happen when you're tripping on mushrooms become reality. So here's, like, another thing that I thoroughly loved and that kind of surprised me was that, like, Niall and his relationship with what's his name? Roy. Niall and Roy's relationship, despite them being enemies throughout so much of the film, and like having kind of that, like, where Roy just comes to kill Niall so much, but then Niall going to him and having that Niall's going to him and having that serious conversation about finding the things that matter and the things that work. And I think that that's like super cool. Like, that was unexpected. I didn't expect them to collaborate. Like I said, I looked at this as like a Jurassic Park villain that is hunting you for no dang reason, you know, like just that was cool. And then I liked how, like, even though Niles had kind of given up, he was still doing things slightly differently all the time and kind of approaching things differently. And because he knew the day so well, like, he'd been stuck in that day for who knows how long in his time. But
Sorry to interrupt you. It's on IMDb. So Palm Springs writer Andy Ciara and Andy Samberg confirmed that Niles was trapped in a time loop for over 40 years.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah. Can you imagine living the same day for 40 years?
No, yikes. No, I can't. 40 freaking years? How did he not like wither away when they got into the time loop? Like, out of the time loop? Like, what the freak? That's crazy. Well, then, how long did it take her in years to study all of those physics and stuff?
I don't know. That's all I got. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off track on your thought process, but
40 years, man. That's like, according to my history of childhood knowing about the Jews, that's how long they were stuck in the wilderness, right? Like with Moses? I don't know.
Know that it's a long freaking time.
Yeah, 40 years. I'm not quite 40 years old. I got another decade. But holy crap. But yeah, I just think it's interesting how Niles like switched up the day here and there, and that he like called out, like, once he started dating Sarah, right? He like cleverly called out his cheating girlfriend a few times, which I thought was kind of funny. And overall, I thought the film was just like Josh said, like, it was well done. And the soundtrack, that was good. I loved the music that came along with this, because I'm realizing as I'm doing this project where I'm watching movies every day, how much music can influence a movie. Like, we've talked about it, but holy cow, it can make or break a film. And this did really well with the film. So yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
You definitely did. So many aspects of this movie just came out of the blue and amazed me that I didn't expect to, which is what made it end up being the film that we're talking about today. It's such an incredible movie. Something else that I guess I had wanted to ask you about, one of the things that I wrote down is that this day, you know, like most of them, you're not expecting it, but this day that they end up living over and over again, they, unlike a lot of other things, like some of the other Groundhog Day style movies you'll watch, there's some sort of like goal or something they have to do, like, you know, not really spoilers, it's in the trailer, but in Happy Death Day, you know, she has to like survive the day or whatever, like do this or that to try and survive it. They just really don't know what they're doing, you know. And he says he's tried everything, and obviously he's been in there for like 40 years or something. So I was thinking, if you got stuck in that situation, if you went into the cave and you got trapped in today, like today was the day that you got stuck in this time loop, what do you think, like, you would do? Would you do some of the stuff that you had planned today? Like, how different do you think your day today would be if today was the day that you got stuck in that time loop?
Well, you're making it hard here when you bring that up, just so you know, because...
Not for me, man. My day would be completely different. literally all I've done today is work, and then I went for a run. Like, that's it. And if I was living this day over and over again, I promise you I would not be working.
Yeah,
that is true. Because I mean, everyone forgets everything, right? Like, sorry to, you know, Matt and our other bosses, but after a while, you know, the first few days I would probably just like text in or something and be like, hey, I'll be out today, like a sick day or something like that. But then like after that, I would just stop texting because they're not going to remember tomorrow. Like, they can do whatever they want. I'll be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to. Here's what I would do today if today was on a time loop. I would wake up when I woke up today, which was around 8:15. I would still get up and play with my puppies because I love my puppies. But then I would go and do the exact same thing that I did today. I went to a grocery store. I can't specifically say which one because, you know, it's not for me to say. But I went to this store and there was a person who stood in front of me that said, "Wow, that's really expensive what you've got there." And then they turned around and had like something that was like 10 times the amount of what I had in their cart, which was hilarious. And I would have that interaction every day.
Dude, where do you go shopping? Because I swear every time I talk to you, you have a story about being in the line shopping. Like someone calling you out for masks, someone calling you out for what you're buying. I literally never talk to anybody in line.
I just look like either one, a person you could chat with, or two, a person you could fight. Like that's the two things that people like stare at me at. Especially like, well, I had trimmed my beard today, guys, and looked way less homeless and way less gruff. So I looked approachable, I guess.
You're just saying that I'm not approachable. Got it.
Well, Vince, you look stronger than I do. You have two arms. I just like look like somebody. They're like, "Oh, this weakling, let's talk to him." Or maybe like, I don't know. I'm going to stop talking now. But then what I would do is I would go to IKEA again. I can talk about this store. I would go to IKEA again. And this time I would just get all the desserts. Then I would go, you know, just eat until my heart was happy. And then I would go and sleep in a bed at IKEA, which I've always wanted to do, like one of their
desserts. But that would restart the day. That would be the end of the day if you did that.
Oh, man. Oh, crap. Okay, I take that back. I wouldn't sleep at IKEA.
You don't even have to deal with the consequences then, you know? Like, if he took a nap there, then it would be cool, but then, you know, they'd probably have some people come and get him in security. But if you fall asleep in a bed in IKEA, you just wake up the next day. You don't even have to deal with the consequences of that.
True. Here's the real question. Are you an Andy Samberg or are you a Kristen Milioti? Would you do everything you could to the point of having to learn science, or would you just give in to the time loop and just wallow away for the rest of eternity stuck doing the same thing over and over and over again?
I would become the world's greatest chef, and then I would hope that somebody else would get stuck in the time loop who could get me out. Or I'd learn science after that.
I'm not going to lie. I think that I would be Andy Samberg for most of it. You know, I would be the Niles. I think that there would come a point where, you know, I don't think I'm one of the smartest people that there is, you know, but I think that I can, you know, hold my own. And when I put my mind to something, I can, you know, really get into it. So I think that I would be like her when she first got stuck and try like a lot of like the basic things that you think you could do to get out. And if it kept persisting, I think I would give into the time loop. Kind of try to master some stuff or something like Tahani from The Good Place. And then I don't know, I probably would get to a point where I would say, I can't stand this. I can't die. I can't do anything. There has to be something we can do or something else that we can try that we haven't tried. So I think I would get to a point where I would at least try to learn all of that stuff and think about what we're doing. But I'd say I would go probably for a few decades as the Niles of this story.
I'm the same. I wish that I could say I was good when it came to that kind of sciencey stuff, but science is not my strong point in school. And I think that I would just be wasting away just trying to find ways to entertain myself. And I hate that I say that, and maybe this is a good self-reflection moment, you know, telling myself, don't be Andy Samberg. No, sorry, I shouldn't say that. Telling myself don't be Niles, because Andy Samberg is awesome and very successful. So don't be Niles and be a Sarah.
Well, I most definitely would be a Niles, to be honest with you. That's there's no doubt about that.
Also, don't be a Roy. Don't hunt people. Because the pain is real.
That definitely was, like Casey said, such an unexpected moment after he had gotten his legs broken and he died slowly in the ICU, his change of heart when he realized like what exactly he was doing. And even though he was really like kind of like a sadist before, like so interesting, like Casey mentioned, when Niles goes to him, like how would you feel if like someone did that to you, even if it's unexpected, you know, you're freaking high on angel dust or whatever, but like if you were with someone partying one night and then you found out that they lured you in, not really like purposefully, but that because of them you got stuck living the same day over and over again, that would be something that would be so hard. I mean, I don't think I would ever like hunt people down and try to kill them, but you would, like he said, he was like, I had a lot of anger towards you, man. Like that would be something that would be crazy hard to live with and deal with. Because yeah, Andy Samberg like went in the cave once, like on like the day that it happened, and then what happened? Like he's by himself, whatever, he did it, but like bringing someone else into that, like he said he had promised never to do that again. It's insane. Just like a crazy thought to think about. Like, what if someone had done that to you?
Yeah. Oh, I can definitely understand why Roy was mad, but I just, I'm both impressed and don't understand why Niles never retaliated, you know, gave him a dose of his own medicine, you know, before Sarah showed up. If someone was hunting me all the time, I would wake up one day and be like, I'm going to get him first. You know, I'm going to show him what it feels like. So maybe yeah. I do want to be Niles in that way of just having the patience and forgiveness to be like, no, I kind of deserve this because I did get him into this.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like the hard part, right? Is how long would it take you to forgive? Like it took Roy a long time and a lot of pain. And I imagine Niles had his own set of pain and troubles and struggles to work through, right? Like his girlfriend's cheating on him. Like he's stuck in a time loop. Like his life kind of sucks until like he gets her stuck in the loop with him. But then she has to work through the same anger and frustration. And he has, right, the heartbreak and the regret, and he's upset about it. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I think that's a very like interesting thought. I think I would probably be bitter for quite some time personally, and then I might wisen up and just chill out, but I can't guarantee either.
I don't want to spoil a separate movie really, but have either of you guys watched Passengers?
Yes, I have. Yeah, watched Passengers.
It's been a long time.
Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, right? Okay, so big spoilers for Passengers here, so skip ahead like a minute or something if you haven't seen it. But it reminded me of that sort of, except for opposite. You know, he brought her into this sort of situation, but he didn't mean to. But in Passengers, you find out partway through the movie that he had purposefully, like, woken her up to, like, share this experience with him. And so that anger sort of, that sort of thing was what it reminded me of this, like, sort of hopeless situation that, you know, she was brought into by accident, but in Passengers, it was purposeful. It kind of made me think of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. I don't know.
What do you guys think is the craziest thing you would do if you were stuck in the time loop? Maybe not today here in your life, but if you had been in Palm Springs for the wedding of a friend or sister, you were stuck there in the time loop. What do you think is the craziest thing that you would do?
So first off, I would be worried because I'm just a worrier. That the next day might be the day that ends up being the next day, you know? Even if I'm there for a week, I'd be like, but what if tomorrow I get out of this time loop, you know?
You do like the role play where you're the French man with the bob, and then the next day that ends up being the real
people like that. Exactly. I'm just so scared of the consequences of all these crazy things. Like even watching the movie when she wants to get arrested, I was just like thinking to myself, like, what if this is the twist of the movie where she did something right this time and tomorrow she's going to wake up in prison for assaulting a cop or whatever, you know? I was just like, that's just me. I worry. And I'm sure that after a while, especially being in there, like Niles is in there for 40 years, I'm sure after a while I'd be like, okay, I'm never getting out of this. I don't care what's going on. And I'm with him. Like at some point you have to do something to entertain yourself. Cause if you think about it, like There's not going to be any new movies coming out. There's not going to be any new video games. You're stuck in the same place over and over again, having the same conversations with people over and over and over again. At a certain point, you're just not going to care anymore, and you're just going to try everything. And apparently consequences don't matter. So, you know, why not? What does he do? Sniff, take crack, and fly to South America or something?
Ecuadorial,
yeah,
like, Guinea.
There you go.
Yeah, or just play around with people at the wedding, or, you know, like I don't know, just experience everything that life has to offer.
I thought about this today, and what you said ties into directly to what I would try to do. So you were like, there's no new movies, there's nothing like that coming out. Here is what I would do. I know that they're pushing it so that they can, you know, find a good time to open it so that it can be a lot of people. I would spend each day finding people who could give me access, early access, to watch Tenet. And I would learn the conversations that we would have each day, line by line, so that I could convince them that I was in the time loop, to convince them to let me watch Tenet before it actually comes out. Because I would go crazy if I was in there for 40 years, always like a month away from the release of Christopher Nolan's next movie. And I know that sounds crazy, but I would just be like insane knowing that it's out there, but I can't freaking watch it. So that is like probably not the craziest thing I would do, because there would be some days where I'd do some pretty crazy shit. But like, I would find a way to watch Tenet. That is what I would do if I like woke up today and I had to live today forever. I would make it happen sometime. That's me. What about you, Case?
I don't know. I feel really cheesy saying this, and like, I would do a lot of dumb stuff, like for sure, a lot of dumb stuff. I would try to drive as far as I could, you know, pull that whole, I drove to Austin, then I fell asleep as soon as I got there type thing. Or I would try to drive like as long as I could and see how many actual days that I could stay awake, like what the record could be, how much, you know, how many energy drinks I could drink before just physically crashing out could be fun. I think I most definitely would try to hit up all the food that I wanted to eat. Like, I would make trips out of, I feel like it would be like, I would just go on a ton of quick food trips to find things, or I would go like try to meet celebrities and take pictures with them. I would most definitely try to find a way to save those types of things if I could. Like, I don't know if you could in this situation, but like stuff like that could be fun. I would probably like find all the people I didn't like and like embarrass them somehow. I'm a terrible human, I know. But I think in the end, I would just start like hanging out with like family, doing things that I like really wanted to do, which would be the craziest things. Like convincing my little brother to not be afraid of heights and to go cliff jumping with me or something, or doing just stuff like that, which would be interesting. I actually have a question about this, though, that came up. Have you guys watched the newest season of Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, so you might not get this, Josh. But sorry. I don't want to spoil it. Never mind. Question canceled because Josh.
I can like take my headphones off. You guys can have your own private podcast.
No, it's okay. Just Vince, you know, in season four, how Morty wants to be in kind of like a time loop and have redos all the time. Do you think that's happening on the outside, like the outside effects, like of what happened? Like, I'm curious.
Maybe
about that.
I don't know.
Without going too far into it, but that's something I was thinking about. So, yeah, I think also I would like to try skydiving a few times and get really good at it. There you go. That's my craziest thing. Maybe do like a ton of cocaine and try to make it to the bottom of Latin America in a day. Who knows? It's like a long flight to Brazil, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, it was 10 hours, I think.
Oh, that's weak. I could do that easy. I've flown 14 to 17 hours. Okay.
It was 10 hours from Atlanta, though. So you got to get there first.
Aeromexico.
That'd be interesting, because I definitely want to visit there. That's a question. Could I even like really get to Brazil and enjoy it? Like, I'm just trying to think about it. And like, I would love to do something like that. And I don't sleep very well on planes ever. I can never sleep for extended periods of time, but I always at least doze off once on a 10-hour flight, you know? Like, so I'd have to be taking some, like, I'd have to get a few of those crazy, like, monster coffees with, like, the 300 milligrams once I was inside the airport.
No. What you do is you sit on, like, the front seat behind, like, the division between first class or business class and regular class. That's the seat you get. So you can stand up and walk around or stand up and move. Do stretches. You can, like, converse with the – I was going to say the nuns, but the people who help out. What are those called? I forgot. The stewardesses. The flight attendants. Yeah. Stuff like that. I don't know.
Man.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I would try to travel and experience things. I don't know. That's my take on it. Also, I would try to foil J.K. Simmons' plans if I was in this. I would just be preparing all the time for Roy. That would be my thing.
There you go. That's a good one to do.
Yeah. Be like playing the Roy game in Rick and Morty. You went back to the carpet store, Morty. Ha! There's a difference between you and me. I don't go back to the carpet store. All right, guys. Anything else you guys want to chat about this film before we take off?
Yeah, I just want to bring it back to the ending of the film and back to the idea of, you know, this being a representation of relationships and being stuck, you know, living the same day over and over and over again. And Sarah has this really good monologue about, you know, how can you know you love me when, you know, we're the only two people in the world? How do you know that we're lucky enough to really love each other and we're not just stuck with each other? And, you know, that's a question that we all have in life. You know, we're going through day to day and life can be hard and life can seem monotonous at time and boring at times. And I think that the point of the movie is just like, life is better with another person there to do it with you. So, you know, find that person that makes the monotony of life, the day in, day out, that much better. And what a cool message. What a cool movie. Two thumbs way up.
I'm here for that as well. I guess, like, just kind of cutting into that, like, following up, like, at the end of this film, like, I just kind of, like, joked around with Allie a little bit. I was like, oh, I'm glad you haven't gotten too sick of me and too bored of me, because especially right now, this is a weird time. Like, you have to, like, social distance, you have to mind yourself, but you're also just in a weird space a lot of the time where, like, you yourself are dealing with things and another person is dealing with things at the same time, and you're probably not coping with them in the same way. Like, being super honest and vulnerable here, like, I am not doing so good at coping with, like, not being able just to go hang out. Like, I can't call Vince up or Josh up and be like, Josh, let's go to Topgolf. Vince, let's go watch a movie at the theater. Like, that just doesn't exist right now. And, like, I can't imagine being stuck in a time loop where, like, he was the only person for a long time and he probably lashed out and, like, had a hard time coping with it. And then just, like, once she got in there, like, his perspective most definitely changed, but he had to work every day still. And that's something that can be a huge challenge, is just to, like, I guess, mourn and work and move forward at the same time, mourning and moving forward and working and doing things. So yeah, that's a beautiful sentiment, because every day is a choice and every day is work. And it's not easy work, but it's good work and can't complain. So I'm glad that you guys are my friends and that this life is a little bit less monotonous with you guys in it. To pull a quote from the film. But yeah, this, like, literally this podcast, like, helps me not feel like our lives are so stagnant, to be super honest with you. So I don't know. But Vince, you brought it to a really good place and thank you for that. What about you, Josh? Any closing remarks?
No. I just would definitely recommend this movie to you guys, to anybody who hasn't seen it. I hope you didn't get this far in the podcast and haven't seen it, but if you have, then recommend it to everyone you see. I definitely do, when people ask about movies and stuff, because there's not a lot out there of new content. So I always, you know, plug this film. They did such a great job. The acting, the music, the cinematography, everything, this movie really came together to create an incredible film. And the film really like teaches us a lot. And it was very interesting. Vince was talking about the ending and he talked a lot about like the symbolism and stuff, which I definitely thought was cool. I also thought like that the real, like what they did to end the movie and get out of the Groundhog Day was like actually like really clever. And there is definitely still like a lot of theories online, and the producers have said that it's up for debate whether they actually did make it out or not. But like just the way that they did it with her going through and studying all of that and finding like a real scientific way to break out of the thing that they were like doing, it was super cool and interesting. And they definitely left you guessing as to whether they did or not. I honestly, because they put such a big pause there, thought that the movie was going to end when they went in and like blew themselves up because there was such a huge dark spot. But just what a film. Definitely enjoyed watching it. I was happy to watch it a second time to get a little bit more about it for the podcast and just make sure that you watch it with enthusiasm, comma, and all of your friends watch it, ... ellipses, and all of that stuff. Emphatic.
Wait, did you watch the mid-credits scene?
The one with Roy?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I was like, that was a really good scene. I think we need to bring that up.
End.
Yeah.
But. Yes. Do you want to bring it up, Casey, and give us some final remarks?
Oh, guys, this film was awesome. It was an unexpected nugget that really came out at a good time, I think. There's a mid-credits scene, essentially, at the end where we kind of it's like a welcome scene as well. Wow, I'm saying this is a welcome thing a lot. Like, I don't know what's happening to me. I'm coming in a welcome person. Get out of here, Fly. But anyhow, Roy approaches Niles at a wedding and kind of, like, interacts with him afterwards. He's being actually kind of friendly. And Roy introduces himself and kind of like asks about like their plan to escape the loop. And I was just like, wait, I've never met you before in my life, man. And Roy is like, it worked. And it was kind of like a really cool way to end it. So as per usual, if this was a Marvel film, you would stay for the end credits scene, stay for the mid credits scene. It's really good. And for me, this film was just a lot of fun. I think Andy Samberg has really like transformed as an actor. Like the first time I saw Andy Samberg in a film was in Hot Rod, like decades ago now, it seems. And that show has stuck with me for a long time. And I feel the same about this film. Like it's a film that it's not going to get quite the renown it probably deserves, but it'll become a cult film that people will always enjoy. So yeah, be prepared for a weird Groundhog Day loop film, but also enjoy yourself very much. So yeah, thank you all as always for tuning into our podcast and letting us talk about movies. And as per usual, Josh and Vince, thanks for joining me. I want to bring one thing back really fast, and I'm putting this on the spot for both of you. Summarize this movie in a tweet really fast.
Hot Rod meets The Mother meets Groundhog Day meets romantic comedy, and it's f-ing amazing. Sorry, we can take that out.
Good one. What about you, Vince?
Palm Springs revolutionizes the Groundhog Day genre. I don't know.
That works actually pretty good. Well done. Well done. I will give mine. Man's.
That's true.
That's full of spoilers. You just gave the whole movie.
You're right. I've gotten really bad at this. I don't know. Well, anyhow, there's our movie. There's Palm Springs, guys. As per usual, we had a ton of fun talking about this movie and watching it. If you watched Palm Springs, let us know. Let us know kind of what your thoughts were on it. And yeah. I've made some fun stuff for putting this up on the gram and social media, and Vince will get up on YouTube after it's up and we'll have some fun with it. So thank you for tuning in, Josh and Vince. Thank you for taking the time to join me in this fun little escapade as always of watching movies, talking movies and enjoying life. So until next time, folks, or will it be next time? Will tomorrow be today and today be tomorrow? Join us next time on the Pause Rewind Play podcast.